Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. We got a great topic for you tonight, ADHD and concussions. And with us in our virtual studio is Dr. David Barron, who is who's a gift to me, actually, because it's funny because Dr. Charles Parker turned me on to Kenneth Bloom, and Kenneth Bloom turned me on to David Barron. I'm like, where have you been these last several years? He's a plethora of information. I'm very excited to kind of bring him on the show to kind of get into this because we like to do topics that nobody else is talking about, like we did a couple months ago with Dr. Parker and ADHD and allergies and the impact of allergies on ADHD and the medication interaction, which was a fascinating conversation. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, May the 31st in the year 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just one quick announcement is, if you know me, you know that we are a fan of CHAD. CHAD is Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, and the largest non-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. And if you're not familiar with CHAD, you need to become familiar with it, and you actually need to become a member. Quite frankly, they got lots of member benefits, but the most important reason is they advocate. They speak with one voice. They do a lot of work on Capitol Hill and with other regulatory agencies that really kind of help kind of pull things together. And so to support the community, you need to kind of support them. But the other thing that they do as a part of member benefits is they have a conference every year. And this year it's going to be November the 9th, the 11th in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm excited because I think this is actually my 10th year that I'll actually be attending it. You can learn more about the conference by going to chadd.org. And I will encourage you, we have some spectacular content. In fact, we have a lot of people on our show actually are presenting at the CHAD conferences. And while we like our content, I have to tell you that there's nothing like getting together with your tribe. You learn so much in the hallways between conferences. I remember Dr. Barkley one time was speaking on sluggish cognitive tempo, and I saw him sit outside and answer questions for over 90 minutes for the crowd that was leaving the room. I just watched their faces. It was spectacular. So with that, real quickly, also, tonight's show is actually being brought to you by CHAD, and they have a tip for you. So let's run the tip, and we'll get into the meat of the show. So here we go.
Are you considering a medication holiday for your child? Possible benefits include time for a growth spurt unaffected by medication, and relief from side effects. Be sure to weigh the benefits and the drawbacks because ADHD symptoms will return. And always discuss any changes with your child's health care provider first. For more information, visit the CHAD website, helpforadhd.org, H-E-L-P, the number 4, ADHD.org.
Thank you, CHAD. Again, everybody, learn more about them. Go to chadd.org. They're a spectacular organization. So with that aside, let's get into the topic of the show. Attention Talk Radio, we do really like to pay attention to attention, and we like to sometimes pay attention to what other people aren't paying attention to. And we like to bring unique topics like tonight, ADHD and concussions. And we have the perfect guest for it. I've actually been looking for somebody for over a year on this, and he kind of fell in my lap. Dr. David Barron is currently the professor of psychiatry and neurosurgery, and I got to get this correct, medical school at the University of South Carolina, and the director of the Center of Exercise Psychiatry and Sports at USC. He's the assistant dean of the International Relations, and he is on the board of the directors of the International Society of Sports Psychiatrists. He's the founding chair of the section of exercise psychiatry and sports for the World Psychiatric Association, director of concussions and ADHD programs, clinical director of the National Institute of Mental Health, and a former chair of the Department of Psychiatry at Temple University School of Medicine. He's published over 120 papers, book chapters, and books, and presented more than 400 scientific presentations nationally and internationally. He's currently Consumer Council of America's top doc for sports psychiatry and the former top doc with ADHD and substance abuse. So with all that stuff, you know I got the right guy here tonight. And with all that, Dr. Barron, welcome to the show.
Jeff, thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's a really truly my honor. let's start off beginning. Can you just for our listeners out there, we've heard concussion for a long time, but fundamentally, what is a concussion?
Well, it's a good question. And actually, one thing I have to correct you on, or I'll get a lot of crap from my fellow workers, is I'm at the University of Southern California, the other USC, not the Gamecocks, the Trojans. So if people are listening to this, I'll never hear the end of it. So
did
I
say South Carolina?
You did, but you know, USC, when you're on the West Coast, USC, everybody knows what it is. When you're East Coast, everybody knows what it is, but they're different schools. So just a small thing, but I'll never hear the end of it. So I'm at University of
Southern Cal,
in Los Angeles.
I'm a little embarrassed. I'm a little embarrassed because I usually always state that because I think of USC when I think of USC, not University of South Carolina, and the dyslexia in me, I transposed anything. So I stand corrected. Thank you for correcting me. Appreciate it.
No, that's quite all right. That's more for me than for you. No, concussion's really an important thing. You know, it's been very hot in the news because of the deaths from professional athletes. And, you know, it's really been since almost a decade now. And a lot of people really don't kind of fully understand what concussion is. You know, we know a lot about traumatic brain injury. You know, you get knocked over the head, you get knocked out. But concussion is really a different animal. What it is, it's when you take a blow to the head or the face or really any part of the body, and it results in kind of an acute change in the way you think and feel. You know, we've all slipped in the shower. It's not restricted to athletes by any stretch. You know, you fall on the ice if you're, you know, back in the Northeast in the winter, and you're just kind of stunned. So sometimes maybe, you know, your eyes might feel, you know, you'll see people kind of shaking their heads a little bit to get the cobwebs out, might be seeing stars. You might feel a little change in your balance, sometimes an upset stomach. So there's a whole series of symptoms. And what it is, it's the result of kind of an acute kind of trauma to the brain. What's interesting with concussion is the symptoms oftentimes go away very quickly. And if they do last, they usually don't last more than a couple, 3 days. But what we now know based on, again, well over a decade's worth of good research is that the brain kind of remembers these. I use the analogy of a sunburn, you know, like nobody dies of one sunburn, but the more sunburns you get, the worse the outcomes could be. And that's what we see with concussions. And I've been, again, related to tonight's show, been particularly interested in relationship, if any, between folks with ADHD and then sustaining concussions.
It's fascinating to me that correlation. I really want to delve into that in a lot of detail in a second. But real quickly, when I was younger, I had a couple of concussions. And it was described to me as your brain just kind of – it gets inflamed and it gets kind of swollen. And is that a myth? Or is that a wives' tale? Or is there something to that?
Well, see, that's a very good lead-in because that's what we know – with traumatic brain injury or TBI, you know, someone gets in there, they're in a car accident, they fall off their bicycle and they get knocked out. And what you can oftentimes get with that is a swelling of the brain. That's why these can be very significant and serious injuries. With concussion, it's really not the same. There are things that happen in the brain and we can measure them with research tools. But unlike a TBI where you can go to the emergency room and they might run scans of your brain and do x-rays and do some other things, with concussion, there's no kind of clinical tool that we can use. I say, oh, yep, yeah, you had a concussion there. One of the areas that I work in are things called biomarkers, which are a way to measure, did something really happen? So that idea that the brain swelling is usually, that's really associated with traumatic brain injury. You know, much more significant, whereas concussion is kind of that mild stun where you just kind of, you know, you fall, you're a little bit dazed for a while, and then it will almost always return back to normal in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm. So fascinating, everybody, this is, life is kind of weird. I was having a conversation with Dr. Barron about this, and we actually kind of set the show, and a week ago last Sunday, my son was playing a state soccer championship, which they won for the third time in a row. But anyway, he actually got a concussion in that. But since that time, I've had to go to the doctor's office. And it's been fascinating to do that. And when he was at school, they actually have a baseline test that they run right now. I guess they ask some questions when they're kind of diagnosing concussions. And I wasn't aware of that. But when I took him a week ago last Monday, we walked in and there's a questionnaire. And they ask you – do you have ADHD, which was the only kind of question that stood out to me that was like, wait a second, why is that there? They weren't asking anything else. So with that being said, I'm really curious. Talk to us about concussions and ADHD, because that question just kind of caught me by surprise, actually leading up to the fact of this interview, because I was like, wow, it's right there.
Yeah, well, the way we kind of diagnose concussions now, it's a change from your baseline. So like virtually all high school sports now across the country, certainly all the pro and the, you know, collegiate sports teams, before the season even starts, they do some simple tests that kind of measure how you you kind of think and balance and the way your eyes track, some very simple things, and a number of questions, and that's to establish kind of your baseline when you're not injured. And then what happens once someone sustains an injury, like your son, unfortunately, I'm glad he's okay, but then they measure that change. And what that change is that, okay, this is different from your normal functioning. And then they use that to determine when is it safe to go back, because unlike other things where you have, you know, if you get a sunburn, the sunburn goes away, it's probably okay to go out in the sun. Or if, you know, you have an infection, when the fever goes down, you're probably okay. We don't have many of those good biomarkers now. So what we know is very important is not going back too soon, because there have been some very tragic cases of middle school athletes, for example, who have sustained a concussion. You know, 5 minutes later, they're, oh, coach, I'm okay, I can go back in. The athlete goes back in, takes a fairly mild hit, and ended up in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. So one of the real keys in concussion is not getting back too soon until the brain is kind of healed. And I put healed in quotes, but it's returned to a level where it's safe to get back. And that's usually a gradual return in the world of sports, you know, getting back into your sport. The military obviously is very interested in this. And it's important that they ask about ADHD, is some of those core symptoms of ADHD are some that they measure with concussion. So things like attention, the ability to stay on task. So that there's certainly some overlap in the core symptoms that we see with ADHD as well as that we see with concussion.
Well, so it was fascinating to me, because I've done some shows on working memory, where people, you'd say working memory, but I have this fun little thing that I do with somebody where I state five words in random order and ask them to repeat it back to me in alphabetical order. And their words are visual words like hippopotamus, kangaroo, whatever. And it's fascinating to me, because half the time those with ADHD either forget a word or they misorder the word. And I do that really for them to see what working memory is like in their mind, because they have a list and they've got to reorder it and form another list. And I talk about that. Putting that together is a challenge for those with ADHD. And when they witness it and everybody struggles with it, I can say these are just simple words. Well, it's fascinating, because when my son was going through this, they were actually asking him – they would state a series of numbers and ask him to repeat it or repeat it backwards, which is working memory. And it's kind of fascinating, because that relates back to the working memory thing. And so it seems to me that baseline test is important to kind of capture it, so they know what to measure it against, so that they know, okay, it's more impaired now than it was then. Is that accurate? Is that
– Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why it's important and appropriate that they ask with the history of ADHD, because what you wouldn't want to say is, okay, we're seeing some problems here. This person has a concussion, when in fact what you might be seeing are some of the core symptoms of ADHD. Now, what's really interesting, and what I found, I actually was able to study the entire Egyptian Olympic team a number of years ago, and what we were able to demonstrate and to document with some of my colleagues over there was that if you have concussions, there's a greater likelihood that you have ADHD. And if you have ADHD, there's a greater likelihood you're going to get concussions. Now, there's a whole host of reasons why that might be. But what you said earlier, I think, is a very important point. And just like we know in ADHD, there's no identifiable lesion or problem in the brain of someone with ADHD. It's not like, you know, you have something that there that shouldn't be there. It's not there that should be there. And it's the same thing we see with concussion. It's what concussion does is it affects kind of the acutely, and then it can go on in a longer term, is kind of the efficiency of the brain. So it can affect remembering things, like you said, you know, various memory tasks. And there are a whole host of other symptoms that can develop kind of down the road. You can get changes with mood, anxiety, irritability, depression. And we know that these are very common comorbid conditions with folks with ADHD. We'll oftentimes experience problems with anxiety and mood disorders.
So I've been so caught up in this conversation, I've realized I've run back. I need to run to a commercial break real quick. When we come back, I want to get into a little bit more of some of the discussions about the ADHD and concussions more specifically. Real quickly, if you're listening and you got any questions, you can reach out to David at dave.baron@usc.edu and Ritterett, that's University of South Carolina. I did it again. University of Southern California is what I really meant.
You got
it. I tell you, I got to get on that. So anyway, with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a conversation with Dr. David Baron on ADHD and concussions. We've been talking about the nature of concussions, and I'm anxious to kind of get into the particulars or the relationship between the two. Before the break, Dr. Baron, I think you were kind of alluding to the fact that those with ADHD are more prone to concussions, and those with concussions tend to have ADHD. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's just kind of a finding that we were able to identify, because as we were just chatting about, there are many of the symptoms that we can see with ADHD, particularly with the inattention, distractibility, we can also see early on with concussion. Both concussion and ADHD have a large number of symptoms that are associated with them. You know, it's not like if you have a heart attack, it's basically the same thing, you know, crushing chest pain and pain radiating down your arm. But these are syndromes that both have a lot of symptoms, and there's a lot of overlap. Now, one might think that if you have kind of a more hyperactive form of ADHD, that you're more likely to, get into situations where you might, fall down and either hit your head or just hit your body. And that is true. But what's been interesting is there does seem to be some correlation. Now, whether that's a genetic thing that people who have, the genetic loading to develop ADHD, have a lower threshold for developing concussion, we don't know, but it is interesting that there does seem to be a correlation. So one of the things that I always make sure that I educate my patients about with ADHD is that they're aware of the symptoms of concussion, because it's important that they understand. For example, if you know you've got blue eyes and blonde hair, you might want to be a little more sensitive to sun exposure and use that SPF 30 as opposed if you're dark skin. And I just think for my ADHD patients that I'd like to make sure that they understand this so that that they're aware of some of the symptoms. We also know that the younger brain is actually more sensitive to the effects of concussion than as we get older.
So I want to kind of back up here for a second, because I want to make – every once in a while I really want – in our world, everyone wants to jump to conclusions, and a correlation – is not necessarily one causes the other. It's just they seem to have a higher incidence when they're together. And we are still trying to understand this to a degree. And I want to preface this because we're talking about those with ADHD. There's a correlation. There's a higher incidence of concussion with them. And the people that have concussions, it's there. We're still trying to ferret through that stuff. there just seems to be some commonality among that. Can you just speak to that? Because I don't want people to jump to conclusions and say like absolute type conversations, because we're still trying to learn a lot. Does that
absolutely
make some sense?
You're exactly right. These are what we call kind of trends. Like, it's kind of like you want to keep your eye on and keep studying those. And one of the problems that we have in concussion is this is very much in kind of an emerging field. You know, like I said, we know a reasonable amount about traumatic brain injury, TBI, but much less about concussion. In fact, it's only been relatively recently we've appreciated the potential impact that concussions can have. And virtually everybody has gotten dazed or stunned, you know, once or twice in their life. And you know, you certainly wouldn't want people to be worried, oh, my goodness, am I going to have a lot of problems down the road? And that's why I like to use my sunburn analogies. Everyone's gotten sunburn, even dark-skinned folks. But the more you get, the greater the likelihood of something happening, even if it's just in the case of sunburn, premature aging skin. The worst-case scenario could be, you know, getting skin cancer from over-sun exposure. Yep. So with concussion, you're absolutely right. We're studying. We're learning more about it. It doesn't have a classic kind of lesion that we can find that we see with traumatic brain injury, just like we don't see a classic problem with the brain in regards to ADHD, but we know when we test, we're able to identify changes. So maybe the brain isn't quite as efficient with ADHD, which would explain some of the symptoms. And this is what we see with concussion. So I think your point, Jeff, is really an excellent one. And why I think it's important is that if a loved one, a family member, or yourself, if you have ADHD, that what we can see, and I've certainly seen this in my I've been involved with ADHD research going back to the 1980s when I was at the NIMH, is that you might notice maybe a little bit more, a worsening of those core symptoms, which could very well be the result of the concussion. The other reason it's important is the classic medications, you know, that we use to treat ADHD, you know, the stimulants, they can create some issues with concussion. So I think knowing that there's an overlap potentially with individuals, and it does require a professional who has a little more expertise, because when you're in that post-concussive period, there might need to be some slight alterations in the medications, because the meds could make the concussion symptoms maybe a bit worse. So it gets to be kind of muddied waters, and having a professional who's had some experience in dealing with both of those is probably worthwhile.
Well, I have to bite on that one. So if you have ADHD and you have a concussion and you're taking stimulant medications, it's a cause for, wait a second, we might should adjust medications or take a medication holiday?
Well, whether you take a medication holiday, but what I think is important is we do know that the particularly the stimulants, the non-stimulants haven't been looked at quite as much, but the stimulant medications, which, you know, the significant number of folks with ADHD are on, these are great drugs. They're very effective drugs. But like everything, you want to make sure you're at the right dose, not too high and not too low. What happens once you've sustained a concussion is that right dose for you for a period of time might change. And what we see is that oftentimes what I've seen with individuals, well, how I got interested in this years ago dealing with athletes, is they noticed that they were experiencing some side effects that they didn't have when their normal the dose of drugs. So the concussion can kind of change for a period of time your medication needs. One of the things I've seen quite commonly was people who, you know, were suddenly getting headaches with medications that they had been on for months or even years sometimes. So I think the issue is there's another kind of variable that kind of plays into the equation, and it might require, and I would highly recommend anyone to speak to their treating physician or their ADHD coach who can help them, you know, with making some decisions, because the baseline has changed and there might need to be a little alteration. And then ultimately getting back to the dose. And what's important with ADHD, with really all illness, is, you know, you want to be on the proper dose. Again, not too low or not too high. And once you've been concussed, it does seem to affect the brain, where for at least some of the individuals we've looked at now, you might need, not 100% of folks, but you want to be sensitive to the fact that you might need some change. And it's almost, I've never seen a raising of those. It's usually a lowering and then a close monitoring of symptoms as the brain kind of, you know, recovers from the mild trauma.
This has been spectacular, Dr. Barron, because And this is some budding areas, and I think it's a great conversation and a great opportunity for us to kind of create some awareness. I want to go to a break. I want to come back and begin to talk about, since we have this correlation between the two, all the questions that it raises, we don't necessarily have answers, but I think that there's value in an awareness of the general population to be able to look for these types of things. And what I'm moving towards is, with that correlation, there should be a heightened sensitivity over the sensitiveness of a ADHD and a concussion if it occurs. If it's all for naught, no big deal, but there's a potential that we should be more sensitive and be really, really careful with this crowd. I want to talk about that a little bit more when we get back from the break. Everybody, to learn more, or if you need to contact Dr. Barony, because you're just fascinated by this, his email is dave.baron@usc.edu, and I'm going to get it right. It's the University of Southern California. Southern California. There's a dyslexic thing in there. I keep pulling it the other way. Anyway, that said, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. David Barony talking about ADHD and concussions. And before the break, we talked about the correlation between ADHD and concussions. And there's a flood of questions that kind of comes in as a result of that correlation, like, are those with ADHD more prone to concussions? Is it more taxing to them when they have it? Is the recovery duration a little bit longer? And what's the long-term impact of that with ADHD, both with regard to brain development, stuff like that? And I don't know, but it seems to me is I'm not so sure we know a lot of answers to those questions at this point in time. If you can shed some light, that's great. But it certainly seems to me that's an area that we should be looking into because it can be significant. Thoughts?
Jeff, you're absolutely right. This is very much a work in progress. But why it's important, and I think you really hit it earlier on, is that we're talking about, you know, younger kids, maybe adolescents, who are, you know, more likely to be involved in sports programs, or maybe just a kid who's a little clumsy out on the playground. But I think this relationship between the two, again, they are very separate entities, as it were, but the impact one might have on the other, I think, is very important. And I think you really nailed it. That what it's we don't have the answers, but these are things we should be looking at. One of the things, actually, we're just starting is a research project out here. We're going to be following ninth grade football players before they even start and follow them for 4 years, so we can start to learn more about the effect of mild impacts in kind of a cumulative way. So, you know, over the course of time. And I think you really nailed it in that we need to, this is, I think there's some important clinical issues that might impact on treatment and maybe dosing and medications, but we don't have the answers yet. And these are the things we need to study and understand, because at the end of the day, all that matters is people being at their highest level of functioning throughout their lifespan, not only now, but into the future.
And it's just kind of imagine, if you will, that there's not an impact, but if they are higher, more susceptible to it, it's X more taxing and it's got some long-term implications. It really, that notion of education and kind of advocating, it's kind of funny. Actually, I'll move back up. At the last CHAD conference, which was in Southern California. Lee Steinberg was the keynote speaker, which I was grateful for Chad for letting me introduce. And Lee was the inspiration between of the movie Jerry Maguire. And it was fascinating, right, his keynote. He was actually kind of talking about – he was an advocate for a long time because he represents a lot of football players. That's his mainstay. And how he started advocating for the players when this concussion thing out. And he was talking about – it was like these mild things that happen over a long period of time and the need to create some awareness to some of that stuff and pull it together. And I really think he's brought yeoman's work and bringing it together. And one thing that he said to me that really marked is I can either – get frustrated with this and get out of the business, or I can be part of the solution. And it's interesting because in his eyes, I could tell that he had been working towards that to bring this awareness. And there's a lot of stuff that's going on in the NFL with regard to helmets and safety and all kinds of stuff with the players, which is the very reason why I wanted you to have on the show to talk about this in the ADHD world, because the more coaches and parents and everybody is aware of this, we're sensitive to it. And the one thing that I know that I'm taking away today is if you have a kid with ADHD or you have it and you have a concussion, there's nothing wrong with being conservative and spending a lot of time giving yourself the time to recover and not trying to rush it. Because at the end of the day, you can't go wrong with that. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think your analogy is a very good one. It's that we need to increase awareness. I wouldn't want anyone to go out and say, oh, geez, you know, I've got ADHD or my child has it. I shouldn't let them play sports. Not at all. In fact, exercise, as we all know, is a wonderful thing, but both for health and physical health. And I think, you know, certainly with ADHD as well. But the awareness and not being fearful of it. This was the problem I had with that movie Concussion, is it was kind of a fearmonger thing. You know, it's like,
yep,
anybody who plays football. Now, is it true that head traumas, even mild ones, add up? Absolutely. But I think the key is education and an awareness, and let's look at this and do it in a thoughtful way. And I think that's really what's so important. So, you know, for whatever reason, I think knowing that, for example, if I do have ADHD and I do sustain a concussion, that maybe it might be worth talking with my provider about not only my core symptoms, but should I be thinking about possibly,
yep,
adjusting my medication? And again, that decision always should be made with an individual,
yep,
and their health provider. And but again, raising awareness, that to me is the key. And that's why I'm thankful for people like you who take your time and energy to put on a show like this, because you're educating people, you're making them aware. And that's really the most important thing. You know, the word doctor actually comes from the Greek word doceria. It doesn't mean to diagnose. Actually, the word doctor literally means to teach.
I never knew that.
Comes from the word.
That's a nugget. Wow. So I wanna emphasize a point that you just said. In a way, it's a conversation with your doctor. We are here to create an awareness. There's a correlation between the two, and we're opening up an enormous number of questions. But at the end of the day, it's to go talk to your physician. And when you deal with the individual human body, there it's very, very different. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, Dr. Barron, back in 1980, I was a swimmer. And by the way, Dr. Barron is a swimmer. We have a commonality in that. I have asthma, and I was having some issues. And I went into D.C., and Dr. Nolan at the time was a physician that my father was seeing. And he was actually a physician for the Redskins. And I went in, and I went in for an EKG, and I sat on a treadmill, some stuff. And it was interesting because they did my EKG, and it went off. And my school is like an hour away. By the time I got back to the school, there were people at the door meeting me to take me to the hospital. And I didn't really understand what was going on. But to this day, I have pictures of my EKG because my EKG actually looks like I'm having a heart attack. But that's my baseline. And the reason I have the picture on my phone is anytime I go into the doctor and they say, we're going to take an EKG of it, which has happened a couple of times. I actually have to show them the picture, like, this is my normal, and you're not going to take me to the hospital when this happens because this is what's there. And it's a little bit bizarre. My father's had some heart problems, And when they do the test to determine if there's a blockage, it never shows up that he had a blockage. And I really want to emphasize that is because everybody's a little bit different. And we're talking about some generalities, but the body is very complex. And it really comes down to you as an individual working with your physician through this and determine what makes a lot of sense. And I say that because I don't like it sometimes when people just throw out normative solutions like a one size fits all. It really is an art form. Work with people, and it really kind of depends. So I went through that diatribe. I want to give you the opportunity to make any comments, positive or negative, on that to kind of anchor that for
listeners. I just want to reinforce it. Again, you raised some very good points. I mean, the brain is such a complex organ. We're talking about literally trillions of connections. The brain kind of talks to itself and communicates with itself. And it's only been fairly recently that we've had really high-tech ways of kind of looking at the brain as it's functioning. You know, it used to be you had to wait till somebody died and took their brain out of their skull, you know, and we would do autopsies and look at them. But now we've got some very, and we're very fortunate at USC, we have one of the world's premier neuroimaging centers, and there are a number of excellent ones across the country, across the world. But we can actually look at the brain the way it's functioning. And in fact, how I got involved with ADHD was back with a brilliant ADHD researcher called Alan Zemetkin when I was at the NIMH. And Alan did the first group of studies that looked at PET studies, kind of how the brain functions. And that was this was published back in 1990 in the New England Journal of Medicine. I was fortunate to get a chance to work when I was there.
Yeah.
And this really was the first time that we demonstrated that ADHD isn't laziness. It's not too much red dye number two. It's not bad parenting.
Yeah.
But it's in the way the brain functions. So I think your points are excellent, that the brain is such a complex organ that we're just barely scratching the surface of understanding how it is, and that everyone's different. You know, it's not a size 10 shoe is great if you wear 10, but not so good if you wear a 9 or an 11. So that it really needs to be customized. And we're talking about the brain, and a brain that might have been affected by genetic. There's a whole host of things that we know might play in there, that it really requires what they call personalized or precision medicine, that each person needs to find what treatment strategy, combination of talk therapies, of coaching, of potentially medications, of history. There's a whole host of things and many, many variables in this kind of the soup, as it were, but they're all important. And the really good clinician will try to explore as many as is possible. And it should never be a one size fits all mentality.
Absolutely. So moving to wrap this up, anything left that we should comment on that we haven't covered?
No, I think just to underscore, and I think you really said it well, that it's to raise awareness. I wouldn't want any of the listeners to go out and think that, you know, that if I have ADHD or if I've had a concussion, I'm going to develop one or the other. But I think what we can say is there seems to be a relationship. There's certainly some of the symptoms that are experienced in both conditions, and they might exacerbate, you know, make them a bit worse. I think the awareness that if you have ADHD and you do suffer a concussion, that it is absolutely worth a discussion with your provider, particularly if you start noticing that things were going along okay and now they're not so good. I'm having problems with inattention, with whatever your core symptoms might be, particularly if you see physical symptoms like headaches, problems concentrating and in focus. These are much more common with concussion, that might require some alteration. And I think the other thing with concussion is we used to call it mushroom therapy. If you had a concussion, you know, you kind of put somebody in a dark room and let them stay there. And it turns out that we were dead wrong on that, that what you really want to do is allow the brain to rest, but not over rest. That mild return to activity is really what's important, and a gradual return. And most of the sports teams have actually protocols, but if you're not playing for a sports team, I think let the brain rest for a while and then gradually go out for a short walk and maybe do things and listen to your brain and your body. If you have a headache, you have symptoms, maybe you should back off on. The last thing I want to share with people is there are some things that you really should definitely do if you think you've had a mild concussion. Obviously, talk to your physician, but avoid bright sunlight. If you're going out in the sun, wear good sunglasses. Sunlight seems to maybe make things a bit worse and slow down the recovery from a concussion. Also, loud noises. And really very important, as we see both in ADHD and concussion, is good regular sleep and good hydration. These are simple things that can make a big difference in the brain kind of getting back to normal from the concussion side of things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Dr. Barham, my takeaway from tonight is, and I'm going to pause for a second, is our world seems to be always in a rush to get somewhere. And one of the best decisions I think my wife and I ever made was I was a July 31st birthday back in 19, you know, whatever, and I started school in Texas, and the cutoff date was August the 1st. So by definition, I was the youngest kid in the class, and I struggled with it for years. And my two younger sons have later birthdays, not as late as mine, but I started them a year later. And it was fascinating to me because they have one more year of maturity on their belt. And it's not going to change the world, and it's really turned out to be a great decision, at least for my older son. My younger son's kind of coming through, and I think it was, but there's no rush. And I relate that back to concussions and ADHD is if you have that, there's no rush. Take your time. Do the right thing to bring them back. Be sensitive. Have the awareness that that's going on, because there is a correlation here. We don't know as much as we'd like to know. I don't think we can jump to a lot of conclusions, but hey, be conservative about this. Don't press the envelope. Take some time, because if we do find out there's a high correlation and some of these things are there, you'll be glad that you did it. So with that being said, if you got ADHD and your child has a concussion, caution. Take your time. Don't rush it.
I think that's great advice. Jeff, thanks so much for having me on, and congratulations on your show and the time and effort you put in to help people who are trying to help themselves and achieve their highest level of functioning and enjoyment in life.
Well, we certainly, Dr. Barron, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show. We'll have to have you come back on some other topics. So thanks again.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
For those of you who want to contact Dr. Barron, it's dave.baron@usc.edu. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Attention Talk Radio. Catch us next week. Take care.